7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Oh, good afternoon, out and abouters. I am your host, Maeve. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. Listening on, or you might be streaming this, but if you're listening on the radio, chances are you're listening to either 88.1 or 92.3 FM. And today I've got my buddy Matt Danielson in the studio with me, and we're going to be talking all things Pride. Hi, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, you know, Matt, I know you're a big fan of the show, so you have been not. You've probably been following along at the beginning of each show. I read from the book on tyranny, just a little bit, just to like a paragraph from the book on tyranny, Timothy Snyder's treatise. He wrote it during the first Trump administration, basically telling us to watch out for things that could happen as far as fascism coming to the United States. And now it's sort of a historical retrospective. So we're going to do that first, and then we're going to dive into all things Pride. Here we go. Number 13, practice corporeal politics. Power wants your body softening in your chair and your emotions dissipating on the screen. Get outside. Put your body in unfamiliar places with unfamiliar people. Make new friends and march with them. And what a perfect segue, this number 13 from On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder. Because we're going to be talking about that kind of thing today. Because the Pride Festival, to me, Matt, is sort of like that. You have people from, you know, I think probably in the beginning of the Pride Festival, I would imagine that it was mostly, or if not all, LGBT folks, probably not even a lot of supporters that showed up. Was that 33 years ago?
It was 1992, so yeah, about 33 years
okay.
ago.
Okay, yeah.
There was a lot of allies, too, I remember.
Even back then? Okay.
Yeah, even back then. I know some straight-identified people that were there. I mean, I think it was started by some conglomeration of you know, P Flag and the Unitarian Church.
Okay.
And I know Helen Bonser, who was one of the main people. I think she's a straight woman. And Miriam Hammer, she's also straight. I mean, a lot of the people back then, I think the allies kind of helped with,
yeah,
with getting it going, actually.
Yeah, the nice people.
Yeah, well, but then the queer people put, a lot of them had bags on their heads while they marched.
Yeah,
and,
right,
you know, just to hide their identities. So
yeah,
there would be no repercussions.
And now, I mean, and I think, yeah, we talk about this every time, I think, is how the Pride Festival is so, there's so many straight people, allies, great, mm-hmm, people, families out, because the vibe is just an overall healthy family, nice time, mm-hmm, vibe of kindness, I think.
It's like we're rebelling with love.
That's exactly.
That's
in
great.
Which it's funny because those are the kind of things that seem to be in the crosshairs these days. Kindness has now been labeled being woke. And if you actually do kind acts, that's called virtue signaling. So all that stuff you might have learned in Sunday school, or in my case, CCD, those the things Jesus said to do, those are kind of, those are not what this current presidential administration is rooting for. And I think the the Pride Parade is the exact opposite of that. Getting to hang out with nice people and have a good time.
No, I think Jesus would be more likely to go to Pride than like 50% of Christian churches. Because
absolutely.
There's just more love. I think if you really read, you know, the Gospels, it's about love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think there's a lot of recognition of that even in the churches these days, the open and affirming ones. I have an update on some of the funding for Pride, actually. Our biggest, do you want to guess who our biggest sponsor is?
Yeah, because I was going to talk a little bit about, so...
I don't mean to derail your agenda.
I was going to ask about, you know, like I think we remember from last year, Bud Light and people like that were kind of, or in Target, which actually these things kind of blew back on them when they abandoned Pride stuff. And people need to realize a lot of this is just companies showing that they're nice, that they're not complete jerks. And that's why they get on board and they help out with things like this. But the Uber jerks kind of tried to punish them for that. And now they're kind of left holding the bag because they backed out on Pride. So you have you lost some folks that would be sponsoring?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Dramatic loss in sponsorships this year. I'm not gonna name names at this point.
Do they say why they are why they dropped?
Well, nobody's gonna tell you, hey, we're not doing the DEI stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, we're and honestly, most of the sponsorship fallout happened after quote unquote Liberation Day. Because a lot of these large corporations, their business model is based on Chinese imports and multinational corporations.
So they just don't have the money that they used to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think if you had to give a percentage like of why they dropped, is it because of the money issue or is it because of the political issue?
There's definitely one, which I'll tell you off radio, that I know was DEI. They would never say it, but
I think folks like that, you know, I think people stop shopping at Target when they found out it was Target. If you don't let people know who these companies are, how is there the ability for people to say, you know what? I don't support, if you can't be nice, I don't want to support you.
Well, I think it's pretty easy to look up who was a sponsor of Spokane Pride last year versus who's going to be on our sponsorship list this year.
Okay.
And let's just say we didn't turn down any money because we're not in a position to.
So finally, the NRA is sponsoring
Parade. Oh, no, okay. But there are some very surprising new sponsors.
Okay.
Do you want to... So as we were talking about Jesus a little while ago.
Yeah, yeah. Who's the big sponsor?
The Episcopal Diocese of Spokane.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, no, it was after I went on Krem and was talking about all the sponsorship loss. I got a letter in the really nice letter from the bishop and a $10,000 check saying it was from the bishop's discretionary fund. And I had to like email them and be like, you know, almost crying and like, I would like to publicize this. Can we make you a sponsor? And they were cool with that. So, yeah. And then another surprise big sponsor is, the Lincoln LGBTQ Center at Gonzaga.
Oh,
and their director is also still working on maybe even getting us more funding from Gonzaga directly. And
wow.
So it's like, it's the gay kid that grew up Christian that like still struggles with psychological stuff because of that is like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Like how, how, why, this is so great. But yeah, it's kind of a catharsis.
It is. And you know, and those, there are a lot of churches that show up at the Pride Festival. I mean, they have booths there.
Yeah, we had about 14 of them last year.
14?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I put them right next to the protesters.
Okay.
I figured, you know, maybe they can share their different versions of Jesus Christ with each other.
Yeah, not as much fun, I suppose. But yeah, I do appreciate the Episcopal Church a lot. And
oh yeah,
you know, as a, I guess I'm still Catholic, but I can't. I think I don't want to be, you don't want to be sort of like, cause a scene for people when they're in there trying to worship or whatever. And I know there are certainly friendly Catholic churches and all that stuff, but the Episcopal Church has been calling out to me lately, put it that way.
No, actually, our board president is a member there. I know a lot of gay people, a lot of gay men for some reason go to that church. I mean, other than this, it being a beautiful building.
It is a beautiful building. Yeah. Well, enough about, I feel like, you know, this isn't the gospel hour, although in a way I suppose it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like one of the big driving forces in my entire life is like querying up Christianity.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really hard to reconcile what people say. And it's never challenged in the press when they say Christian this and Christian that. When they never challenge the people who call themselves Christian by saying, well, how can you even say this? This has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me, I find it kind of frustrating to the laziness of the press not to actually be curious about, if you call yourself Christian, what does that mean? And, you know.
Yeah, is that loving your neighbor? What?
Yeah, all those things. All those things.
Are you being a good Samaritan? Doesn't really seem like
treating
it.
treating the undocumented immigrant well, mm-hmm. welcoming them into your country, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
No, yeah. I have my show on Saturday, so I wrote one of my songs directly for the street preacher that sits outside.
Oh yeah,
the plaza all the time with the megaphone.
And, yeah.
So of course I emailed it to him. And,
good,
because he found my email because he wanted to take me to dinner for some reason. Yeah, I'll let you draw your own conclusions.
Well, we know how this usually goes. Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, and then he found me on Facebook and started commenting on the video I posted of it. And it's just been a pretty raucous little dialogue.
Oh, so he wasn't converted by your son?
Oh, no. I think that might have pushed him deeper in that closet.
Yes. Well, so you've gained some sponsors, you've lost some sponsors, and you know, I was going to tell people that there is a way that if you're listening to this broadcast and you want to make a tangible way to help out, there is a tangible way to do that, isn't there, Matt?
I mean, always. We operate on such a shoestring budget for this event and the organization. We only have a single staff member. We do one of the largest events in town, plus 60 other community events throughout the year. Oh my gosh, I could not do it without like 60, 70 volunteers around me that like I delegate to, and like we just do cool stuff together constantly and make our community a tighter knit, more united place.
So people can volunteer.
They can volunteer. You can find all this info at SpokanePride.org.
You can donate, right?
You can donate. There's a donation form there. It'll take you. And
you can be a sponsor.
We actually are calling it community sponsors, people that set up monthly donations.
Yeah.
Because what really is going to be good for the longevity of the organization.
Absolutely.
And hiring me an assistant so I don't have to be half a man talking to Maeve 3 weeks out of Pride.
Yeah. I know it's always, you're just running one deadline to the next. Because the Pride thing just doesn't end after the Pride Festival. It just keeps going. And you also have some cool swag, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we're going to have some good merch this year.
Now, that stuff is, you can get it online from the same place, but is there a physical location where people can go right now if they want to get Pride
probably
stuff?
Probably not right now. Well, actually, no, I got board members there. We have the Sand Pride Center. And we're pretty much always down there, especially this time of year.
How about Nine? Does Nine have stuff there this year at all?
No, but I'm going to be there later for Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have meetings.
Yeah, I hear you. So last year, what kind of lessons did you learn from last year's Pride Festival? Anything that you go, you're getting it more dialed in every year.
Yeah, no, we did better last year than we've ever done, but at the same time, not saying a lot. We're the victim of our own success again and again and again, because it just keeps growing.
How many people do you think were there last year as far as in attendance?
It's hard to know, because the only way to get actual data for an event of that magnitude is cell phone ping data.
Oh.
And basically, we had so many people in the park that the cell phone stopped working.
Oh, okay.
So we had these hotspots that were supposed to be running our merch booths, and nothing was working.
Nothing worked.
Oh, and I even talked to Verizon about it last year, because they were a sponsor last year. And they acknowledged that there's like holes in the park. And so according to that cell phone ping data, we had less people than the expo opening ceremony. Huh. And I don't know if you attended that, but there was many people there.
Huh.
You're not the only one that didn't attend that. So it was clearly wrong.
Yeah. To me, the park is just shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, we put more people in that park at one time than anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody. Like Hoop Fest, you know, they're bigger than us, but they're more on the streets. They're more spread out. It's more days, so it's bigger.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure at this point, Pride is the largest event. Like, we put the most people in one spot out of anybody.
Yeah.
Like, more than Pig Out. Our footprint's way bigger than Pig Out, way bigger than Bloomsday. Like, it's just...
What would you say, 30,000?
I would say, safe to say, it's maybe 10, 20,000 more than that.
Okay.
Possibly.
50,000, yeah. I mean, and so that's a big economic, not to look at the, you know, be crass about it, but it's also a big economic boost to the community.
Especially we attract queer people from all over the Inland Northwest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm pretty intentional about getting performers from, like, you know, all around, like, you know, Moscow, Sandpoint, Coeur d'Alene, Tri-Cities, although their prides are happening at a pretty similar time.
Yeah, I talked to people from Montana last year. I talked to people from Seattle that came over.
No, we're the biggest pride between Seattle and Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just wild that they keep leaving me in charge of it.
It's not so wild. It's not so wild.
We're
going to take a little break, and I got to load up my stuff on said computer here. So I'm going to play a little music while I'm loading the stuff up. Otherwise, it's going to be, it's going to be a little bit rough. Okay. So we'll be right back with Matt Danielson. We'll be talking more Pride stuff. Here we go. specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Out and About receives support from the Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture. The MAC presents Samurai, Sunrise, Sunset through June 1st, 2025. This exhibition features armor, weaponry, and personal items of Japan's samurai class. Located at 2316 West 1st Avenue in Spokane's historic Browns Edition, more information is available at northwestmuseum.org. Support for Out and About comes from the nonprofit Unitarian Universalist Church of Spokane, a liberal religious community supporting ideals of social justice, environmental stewardship, and freedom of thought for persons of all ages, races, ethnicities, and sexual preferences. The church offers two Sunday services as well as children and youth programs. Information is at uuspokane.org or by calling 509-325-6383.
Support for Out and About comes from the nonprofit Unitarian Universalist Church of Spokane, a vibrant liberal religious community welcoming persons of all ages, races, ethnicities, and sexual preferences to celebrate shared values and embrace all spiritual perspectives. The church offers two Sunday services as well as children and youth programs. Information available at uuspokane.org and 509-325-6383. 6383.
Do you remember when radio was king? Well, neither do we. But we remember when radio was fun. And that's what you get on the Vinyl Hour Radio Show. Every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. We're not talking about
the slime oozing out from your TV set.
That's right. We're talking about some serious musical fun found on the Vinyl Hour Radio Show, Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m., exclusively on KYRS, where we always give good radio.
The National Runaway Safeline is a communications system managed by the Safe Place Network as a resource for runaway and homeless youth, teens in crisis, and their families. It is confidential, anonymous, non-judgmental, and free. The hotline number is 1-800-RUNAWAY. Calls are answered 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Hi, this is Jeremy Whittington from Stage Left Theater. KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve, and our radio programs are as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting GIVE KYRS to 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
And that was Jeremy Whittington, who will be on next week, by the way. Isn't that cool?
I didn't recognize his voice.
Yeah, it sounded so and it's an old one, too, because now Jeremy works for Spokane Arts.
Oh, I know. I'm working with him on the queer art exhibit.
Yes.
Did you submit something?
Well, I've actually got word on what it was that they picked of my stuff. So that'll be up there, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because we're doing a queer art exhibit. Well, because they didn't do the queer art walk this year. So I met with Jeremy and was like, hey, let's do something at Pride.
Yeah, I think that's a better way to go. Although I have to say the queer art walk 2 years ago was phenomenal.
Well, I'm a little disappointed that we couldn't get the pavilion building for longer because it's really only going to be up for like 3-4 days.
Yeah.
But maybe next year. I don't.
Hey, how is that project going for the biographies?
That's on hold till after Pride. That was so much work. We did capture some very cool stuff. It was actually really meaningful listening to people talk about you know, gay life in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
That's okay. We just have to get
to Pride. Speaking of the way things have changed and history and all that, we're kind of in a historical moment, not just for
especially as a trans person looking at the, you know, going 180 degrees now, being told I don't even really exist and things like that. And from being, you know, last year was just sort of like a normal, you just kind of go do your normal stuff. And now you have to worry about going out of the country if you can come back and all that. The protests around, you know, there's like Tesla Tuesday goes on every Tuesday.
Yeah, my friend Petra runs those. She's fun.
Yeah. So there's things going on. Have you found that Pride has kind of become more of a player in political things around the region?
We've been dipping our toe in. I mean, it's hard to tease out because a lot of it I do kind of as an individual, not as the executive director of Pride. Like, for example, the women in LGBT rally that happened in January, that was kind of more with my hat on. It's complicated, especially that was a nonprofit that was kind of starting to. But obviously, with LGBTQ issues, that, you know, aligns beautifully with our mission. So we can be political in that way as long as we're not endorsing candidates.
Yeah.
Or a political party. But so actually Pride has helped, and we helped run we basically co-produced the March for Gender Freedom with Trans Spokane. We did the Rally for Science, which was really, really fun, actually. I don't know. It's just kind of funny because, you know, Pride, we do events very well, and we have all the equipment that we need. So it's right. Like, all right, what do you need of a protest? Okay, you need a sound system, you need generators, you need to know how to run it, you need to know how to talk to a crowd. So I've been kind of very active in that space recently.
Well, and it seems like maybe the focus of Pride might have to shift a little bit just because the last, even during the first Trump administration, things were a little bit under pressure, but not like things are now, where there's been a real rollback on human rights, a rollback on the Constitution, a rollback on our democracy, really, and a lot of illegal activity going on. And I would imagine that the Pride has to be a little bit more out there, because I think the last couple of years it was just, you know, it was a great time in the park and it was just fun and people having a good time. And now things are, you know, be kind of, I think, whistling through past the graveyard, not to be sort of like acknowledging what's going on right now.
I mean, yes, I don't conceptualize it as Pride changing, though. I think the world changed around Pride, and Pride is just responding to stimuli.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, our theme this year is here to stay. Because, I mean, no matter what they do, we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to keep gathering. We're going to keep standing together. And it is going to get a little bit more activist-y this year. But that's, I don't know if you heard about the No Kings protest that was planned for June 14th.
That was the same day as Pride,
It's the same day as Pride. It's in response to the military parade for Trump's birthday. Because his birthday is the day of our Pride. And
which is interesting, a guy who is a draft dodger, who does nothing but say bad things about veterans and people who've sacrificed their lives, that he's going to get a military parade. I've seen, there's actually big posters up of him on government buildings now, just like a third world country I saw yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yay, dictator. Anyway, so I was in touch. I have a lot of good contacts in the Indivisible groups and all the different protest groups. And I approached them when I heard about this, because I already kind of expected there's going to be something today, that day, because I knew the military parade was coming and it was Trump's birthday. So I'd already gotten my board up to speed, like, we should do something. And so all of those leaders consented to us kind of just doing a rally at Pride in honor of that protest. And we're going to call it the Stonewall Rally.
That's good.
To honor our history.
Oh, wait a minute. Stonewall, they took all the they took all the references from trans people away from Stonewall.
Hence a rally.
Yeah,
because we're not going to forget that.
Yeah.
But we're going to put it on the, in the Lilac Bowl, essentially the main stage of Pride. You know, it's that huge, huge natural amphitheater. Right. All the grass is going to be empty. So we're going to be able to pack like 10,000 people into there.
Okay.
And I think combining it with a large, you know, rally protest and, you know, the already attendees at Pride, I think it could be the biggest rally that we've ever had in Spokane.
So do you envision it as kind of like a coincidental event, or is it actually part of Pride, this event?
I think Pride is holding the space for it, but I think this is more of a manifestation of the entire community.
Yeah.
And we're seeking to get buy-in from every single community, or like, you know, hundreds of organizations that are all at Pride.
Right.
And anybody that's not, and it is going to be relatively, I would like to keep the message relatively positive and unifying, not uh-huh. like burn it all down, because right. I think it is still Pride. So we do, I want to be a happy warrior that day. Like Pride's all about.
I think that's way to be every day.
Mm-hmm, and that's what Pride's about. It's about, and I think the only way this movement's going to get anything done is if we're happy warriors and we're unified and coordinated as a community. Yeah. You know, the left is so, so diverse in like, yeah. you know, what it represents. So how do we unify? How do we stand up as one big rainbow fist in the air saying, you know, we're not going to take this crap anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think like, you know, even when you look at the symbol of the rainbow flag, the way it is now, the Pride flag has definitely moved into that direction that we're all in this together as far as the color of the stripes representing yeah. people of color and things like that. But yeah, you know, you're right. It is a very diverse group. And I think the nice thing about the diversity of this group is it's just not that people are opposed to this fascist government, but they're also that they're for things, you know, and there were mm-hmm. We're for stuff. And I think that's, we always have to keep our eyes on that, because the big thing is the distraction to keep us not talking about universal health care for all, everybody who's a citizen getting to vote and their vote counting, campaign finance reform, all those things that, you know, are structurally need to happen to make our country better. But we have to keep those in the forefront when we're just fighting every day. The news is just something more ridiculous. In fact, I talked to somebody the other day saying, you know, who was a Trump supporter, saying 20 years ago, you would have never supported anything like this. You need to take into prayer, bring it back to prayer. You need to take it into prayer. What happened to you? Because something happened yeah. to you. You would have never supported this kind of thing. And that mm-hmm. was kind of the end of the conversation. But the reality is that something really deep and dark and bad has happened, but we can't be completely sidelined by that.
Well, I mean, there's clearly one of the sides is harnessing a whole lot of fear.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, I think the left has some of the fault of its own by, you know, being a terrible salesperson and then like being kind of profoundly unkind as a movement and not, yeah. you know, embracing our, you know, problematic allies and the people that are kind of on our side. Yeah, it just
seems preachy, you know, yeah. preachy about stuff. And that's the thing is it gets me as a trans person. It's like, if I have a friend, if I know somebody and they get my pronoun wrong, mm-hmm. I'm not going to even say anything about it because they're a good person. I don't want to make them feel bad, mm-hmm. you know? And that's a decision that I made for myself. I'm not saying everybody needs to do that, but it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I think we need to be really mindful of keeping our friends and also not being hurt people all the time either. You know, we bring a lot to the table. We've served our country. We've served our communities. We do work in the community. We're good husbands and wives and parents and we take care of people. And I think we should always come from a position of strength. And that's why I've kind of switched the narrative of not being angry so much for the folks that are doing these terrible things, but feeling pity for them. Mm-hmm. Because they really are to be pitied. I mean, they are unhappy people who are who have turned their backs on their humanity to really go down an awful road. And they don't deserve anger. They deserve pity, in my book.
Yeah, no, and that's how I see it. Even certain people who should not be named. I mean, I even feel sorry for them.
Yeah, because, me too.
What happened to you? What made you that way?
Yeah.
Like, what made you so self-focused, so utterly unable to have kindness and empathy for people?
And how you can look at people throughout of all history. You have the ability to research history and not to know, like, how are you going to be seen? Mm-hmm. How will history regard you? You're going to be, your name will be a synonym for excrement. You know what I mean? That's the thing. It's going,
hopefully,
but it will. I mean, it will. There's just no way that it can not be that way. I mean, we have a rich history of Nazis being the bad guys in movies and things like that. We'd have to go back and just change everything up until this point where, you know, which, you know, I would suppose to some folks, Raiders of the Lost Ark would be kind of confusing. Like, why are they so hard on the Nazis? You know, I mean, it's like, so we've got this history that's not going to go away, I don't think. Hope not.
No, that's why we shouldn't forget.
Yeah. Well, so back to Pride. Back to Pride proper. For last year, there was talk about kind of making, or maybe 2 years ago even, making it into a 2-day event. Is that still the case? Is there still 2 days worth of celebrations?
Yeah, we're doing programming on Friday evening.
Okay.
We're not doing the big vendor push or the parade Friday, but we're doing, we were just going to do one show, but then, you know, why not do two?
Good.
So we're opening up the beer garden under the pavilion on Friday at 5, doing our Pride kickoff show there, a bunch of drag, bunch of dancing, bunch of music and performances. And then this is a very recent development. Looks like we might have found some funding to do Two-Spirit powwow programming again.
Oh, that's great.
And we're going to do that in conjunction Friday evening.
Okay.
And then, you know,
will that be in the Lilac Bowl?
That'll be in the Lilac Bowl. Okay. And then obviously they'll have their own vendors in their own space on Saturday over at a different section of the festival. So yeah, I know it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And it's probably too early to have any idea of what the weather is going to be like, huh?
Hopefully not like this week.
Yeah. It seems like the last, and I don't want to jinx us here, but it seems like the last 2 years were just gorgeous years.
2023, it rained Friday for the powwow.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Not bad. And then it was raining at 4:30 in the morning when I woke up, which, you know, dismayed me till no end.
Yeah.
But no, it cleared up throughout that day.
And KYRS will be live broadcasting again,
mm-hmm.
but from a different location, it sounds
from
like.
From Auntie's Bookstore.
So we'll be set up right there on Main and what is that, Washington, I think?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Main and Washington. And that street will be shut down too,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And then so, yeah, we'll have to get a little bit more, talk more about that, whether we can use their hot spot there or whatever.
But. Yeah, I already touched base with them. I think you can use the, anyway, we're not going to talk about logistics right now.
Yeah, I know. But yeah.
We'll take care of it.
But just to let people know, I think last year we had some problems. And so Robert was sitting on the sidewalk and I was putting it together. But this year, I think it's going to go a lot more smoothly. And,
oh, yeah.
And especially, and, you know, we're having some equipment issues here too, but we'll get all that ironed out. But all to say that this is a big community event. And, mm-hmm. you know, KYRS is and Pride itself, we're kind of intertwined like we are with a lot of other community organizations and mm-hmm. folks and businesses that are out looking, you know, to do the community good and to be players in the community. So I'm really looking forward to doing it again this year.
No, it's going to be great. And even if you don't want to go to the rally, even if that's not your thing, there's like 6 stages. Like we have,
yeah,
we're going to have drag performances everywhere. There's the beer garden's going to be open. There's just going to be all sorts of things happening.
And you know what my entertainment usually is just
theater
bumping in. Well, I do. I'm not doing any of that this year, I don't think, but other than my radio broadcasting, which gets theatrical at times, but
does it?
not today so much. But I think that what I really enjoy is just bumping into people mm-hmm. from every, you know, living in Spokane, I was a Denny's cook when I was in college. I was in the Air Force and all that, you know, my history, but it's like all to say all these different jobs that I've had and all these different things that I've done in the community. It's so wonderful to bump into people that I haven't seen in years and years. And I run into them at the Pride Parade, you know?
Yeah. Pride is pretty much a conglomeration of non-a-holes.
It is a non-a-hole.
Basically all of them.
Yeah, it is. And you know, and I always think people are a little bit of, you know, like, I don't think I've ever had any family members come down to Pride. And I think that's a combination of, I don't want anybody to think I'm gay. And, you know, that kind of thing. And I keep telling them, like, there are families, heterosexual couples with families, and they're the biggest group down there, I would say, people with their kids, because it's just fun. Mm-hmm. And the music's great. And there's, you know, the vendors are great. And like we said, you know, lots of churches are there doing, you know, doing their thing.
Everyone's there, honestly.
Everybody's there. It's just, yeah.
If you have any doubts about what Pride is about, like, just go. It's not some threatening thing, some aggressively sexual thing. It's not debauchery in the park. It's like families and friends just kind of spreading joy and love.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time. And when is the parade on the...
It's at noon on June 14th.
At noon is when it kicks off, okay. Mm-hmm. And the parade usually, it seems like it lasts like about a good hour and a half or so, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes these days. I'm usually of the attitude, what parade? But because I've always been very much the person running the festival instead of the parade. But yeah.
What's your favorite part of Pride?
When it's over, just kidding. It is a lot of work, and I'm doing like 12-hour day every 7 days.
And there's no way you can really, prepare yourself for the onslaught, is there?
No, because it's hard to coordinate something like this too far in advance because people aren't thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like people, the speed at which people respond to my emails is directly proportionate to how close Pride is.
Oh, right.
So if I'm like trying to coordinate something complicated in January with, you know, certain groups trying to get something taken care of, weeks. Yeah. And, you know, now people get back to me very quickly.
Yeah. Well, you have performed in the past with Pride,
I'm not allowed to perform at festivals you just I'm in can't, charge of anymore.
Yeah, you but, can't. Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, we are doing a fundraiser on Saturday, though, in lieu of that. Because I have a little band and we're having our little coming out show because we've never done a show before. So we got a bunch of originals. And,
oh, fun.
And you should go. You like
will
art.
That be at 9 or will
yeah,
that be?
It'll be at 9 at 6 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to overshare about my feelings because it's also dedicated to my friend Jeff who died 3 years ago next week. And he was... like my biggest fan, my biggest musical supporter. We kind of wouldn't say we wrote the songs together, but I would say I would bring them to him and we would work on them like, you know, thematically and like lyrics. And he just supported me so much like while he was alive and then even after.
Yeah.
And like, I just really think I need to celebrate him for me and, you know, tell that story to the community. And that's kind of what
like
that's about.
Wonderful. And that's this Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be, a lot of songs about my feelings.
Oh, well, that'll be beautiful. That'll be beautiful.
It's terrifying.
Do you ever hear back from people from like the first time they I've never been to Pride before and I was so surprised by this or anything like that? Or
occasionally. I'm usually like, I always hear people telling their stories about their interactions with people at Pride that are beautiful like that. And I never have any of those because I am literally running.
I've seen you before. Yeah. You're just a blur.
I run 10, 12 miles and scream happy Pride about 1,000 times.
Yes.
And I'm going to be obviously this year I'm going to be mostly focused on the rally for that portion of it, because I want it to go well, and you know, and it's just, I just want it to stay on the positive, happy warrior, like we're in this together theme.
I'll tell you, to me, one of the things that I was surprised at how I felt about were the free mom hugs.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit there and you watch kids come up who've been rejected by their parents, which I think is becoming less and less commonplace.
I hope.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it still happens. But you see these adults hug kids, you know, ersatz parents, most of these folks are parents themselves. It's a very moving thing. And you see kids with tears in their eyes, and it's just, it's beautiful and it's loving. And I just love that.
That's why I do Pride. I mean, yeah, Pride's for us adults, but I think it's even more for the next generation.
Yeah. And in fact, last year wasn't there. So last year, it was funny. I think the year before last, there was like a kids only zone was in the
pavilion. That was 2023.
Okay. Right. And then the year before, and then last year was sort of, was more of adults. Was the beer garden there?
Yeah. We decided to age restrict it in a different way, because it's not technically even legal to age restrict kids away from their parents in the park.
Oh,
which we found out after. because 2023 was a rough year, but I only took over the org like 2 months before that.
Yeah. Pride,
so it was, not my fault anyway. but yeah, it was an interesting year, but yeah, we decided to go a different route 2024 and make it the biggest beer garden ever.
Yeah. And they had the drunk Shakespeare in there. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. That was very fun.
That's what I heard. I didn't.
Well, I just saw a little bit of it. I wasn't in it last year.
I thought you were in it.
I don't know why I wasn't in it. I think maybe it's because the parade just sort of eats up all my time, you know, and I don't really have.
Well, I know I'm doing other stuff. I invited Stage Left to do kind of a medley.
Oh.
On the main stage.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
And then Troy Nickerson's putting something together with a bunch of the other theaters with Abby Crawford and just a bunch of...
Oh, that is going to be super cool.
We're actually going to have a lot of theater on the main stage for Pride.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, that we just had the gala for Stage Left last week. And they did a lot of the songs from this upcoming season and some from last season. And it was beautiful. So hopefully I get to see some of those again, because it was wonderful.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Stage Left is another good community partner. I feel like, you know, my life is intertwined in all these entities, and it's not by mistake. That's for sure.
Yeah. You're part of the tissue that holds the community together with all these
thank
different
you.
Works.
Hopefully I'm good connective tissue.
I mean,
not like sinus membrane,
not
or something.
Not like a virus.
Yes, yeah, nothing like that. Well, how do people find out more about Pride, Matt? How do people? I mean, we're kind of been tap dancing around the issue, but we want people. You know, people should go to Pride, I would think, and they're going to have a good time. And how do they find out more about the info and what's going on?
Yeah, just go to SpokanePride.org. It's all on there. Information about the day, weekend of, all the different things we do, all of our other events. I mean, we have a brunch on Sunday too. That's going to be really fun. We're doing a Mamma Mia drag brunch at 9.
At 9?
Yeah, 11 a.m. at 9.
I was going to say. I
know.
Yeah,
it's like 11. Weird.
When is it? Where is it? Yeah.
It's on Sunday.
It's like an Abbott and Costello routine.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. But yeah, it's like $25 and brunch is included.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
And it's going to be really fun, and we're raising money for Pride, obviously. It's been so weird because we don't usually do fundraisers for ourselves, but then like with the funding thing lately, we're like, all right, we're partnered with West Coast Entertainment and Best of Broadway to do that. They're helping us out with it.
Oh, there's another good group of people.
So, I reached out to them and we're like, oh my God, we should do events together.
Peter Rossing and those guys, Michelle, those, they're just wonderful people.
I think Peter left, but
did Peter leave? So Michelle's
kinda... I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk. But yeah, and then we have next Saturday, the Saturday after the Saturday, is the Protect Drag fundraiser.
Okay,
where we just basically invite a bunch of drag performers, mostly from Idaho, because I like to represent over here, where it's easier to perform, less hazardous to perform. Right. And then all the money we raise from that gets donated directly to the Protect Drag Fund that North Idaho Pride Alliance does.
Okay. I always found it interesting that people who are against drag voted for a guy who wears more makeup than any drag queen and doesn't do it very well either.
Don't be gross.
I can't help it. That's just how I'm wired. Sorry.
She was born this way.
I was born this way. That should be a song. So that's going to happen. And then, not to look far beyond Pride, but what's after? I mean, you've got Pride events.
We're not even there yet. We could, there's Coeur d'Alene Pride, June 7th.
Oh, June Pride. Yeah, that's right. Coeur d'Alene Pride's before. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And that's, I think it starts at 11 a.m. It's at that main park by the lake.
Okay.
And then right after that, we're doing the Pride Cruise because, why not rent a big boat? And, we're not going to do drag in the park because of, some pretty backwards laws. So why don't we just rent a boat and do the drag show on a boat?
Do you have because you're one of those things, you're offshore so many miles?
No, I think it's just the fact we're not in a public park that makes us get away with it.
Okay.
And I don't even know if it's technically illegal in the park. I just know it's a lot more touch and go.
That was Coeur d'Alene had that problem where they accused somebody of exposing themselves and that never happened. And they couldn't find, there was no evidence of it. In fact, the people who said that, I think they even admitted they had lied about it.
Oh, and then had to pay $1 million to the person they slammed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
The ruling came down for that the day before the Protect Drag show last year.
Yeah.
This is something we do every year. And they came to the show and they're just standing ovation.
Wow.
And they were so happy, obviously.
Obviously. And it's just that's who these people are. They will do, again, they've become something they never thought they would become, and it's awful to lie about people and all that. But yeah, and in the end, justice won out for them. That's good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but that's probably better not to have it in the park, just to not even court that kind of problem.
Yeah. I mean, I discuss often with the director of their Pride organization over there, because she's like this really great organizer, has a degree in public safety, a veteran, and she's just very boom boom on top. But then I'm over here in Spokane running around drag here, drag there, we're gonna do a march, joke to her we fit our organizations really well, even though we're so different.
Yeah, you guys do have good skill set meshing, I would say. Well, anything else, Matt, for folks to know about Pride?
Well, I think there's the Rainbow Run the week after Pride.
Okay.
21st. It's 9:30 a.m. I think tickets are available on our Facebook.
That's put on by...
a partnership between Spokane Pride and the Front Runners.
Front Runners. That's right. I couldn't remember the name of the group.
And then we have... they're not doing a big Pride and Bonners Ferry, but they are doing a queer dance party that I'm going to head up there and help with on the 27th. And then the 28th is Pride in Perry that Odyssey puts on, and we kind of help out with too. We kind of take care of a lot of the infrastructure and stuff. And then Sandpoint Pride is the weekend of July 12th. There's a Pride event in Wallace, Idaho for Silver Valley Pride the weekend of July 19th. There is Pride in Libby, so Lincoln County Pride up in northwestern Montana, July 28th. We have Garland Pride, something we started last year that was just wildly successful. We're we're going to do that again. And that's going to be August 16th. And then we're hoping to start a Pride up in Republic, Washington in September as well.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, this lovely lesbian reached out to me a while ago. And she's like, we want to start a Pride up here. And I'm like, tell me more.
Yeah, that sounds very
how
cool.
How can I support you,
yeah.
please?
Yeah, well, that sounds wonderful. Matt, thanks for being here on Out and About. And, you know, I love it when you come in here because we could just, this. We're going to probably cut the mics and we're just going to keep talking about the same stuff.
But I'm going to tell you how I actually feel.
Oh, yeah.
And anybody wants to know how I actually feel can go to the bar later.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks, everybody, for listening to Out and About. And, of course, you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. And I will be talking with you next week. See you then.
Why would any of us pay them to stand up for our rights? The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
You're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We are slowly dying every day. Is there anyone on this planet who can survive what a human is living through in Gaza? I don't think anyone can bear what we are bearing. It has been 2 years of the war, hunger, killing, destruction, and displacement.
The United Nations is warning 14,000 babies could die in Gaza over the next 48 hours if aid doesn't reach them. As Israel expands its assault and vows to take full control of the entire Gaza Strip, we'll go to Gaza to speak with an Oxfam representative. Then to Tel Aviv, to the editor at 972, to talk about his piece, Render It Unusable, Israel's Mission of Total Urban Destruction. Then to the campus of Columbia University here in New York, where Palestinian student Mohsen Madawi graduated on Monday. Three weeks ago, Mohsen Madawi was released from a Vermont prison after being arrested by immigration agents at his naturalization interview.
There is joy that also the Trump's administration and this unjust government that tried to keep me in prison. I am on university campus, not in prison. I am in my graduation clothes, not in my prison clothes.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The UN is warning 14,000 babies could die in Gaza in the next 48 hours without immediate aid. 100 aid trucks have been approved for entry into Gaza today, far short of the number needed, but a big jump after fewer than 10 trucks were permitted to enter Gaza on Monday. The slow trickle of aid was the first food allowed into Gaza since Israel imposed a total blockade 11 weeks ago. A UN official called the limited supplies a drop in the ocean as the population of over 2 million is facing famine. The leaders of Canada, France, and the UK, all staunch allies of Israel, warned they could move to sanction Israel unless a